Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
I love this song.
I do too. Yeah. Do you think our theme song is also like the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme song, where it was public domain and no one had to pay for it?
I hope. I wish you hadn't brought that up.
Because maybe I just gave us away. We owe thousands.
Wow. You get it. The show is not 1 minute old, and we are potentially in trouble.
Well, it's just like any other day.
Yeah, let's assume it's public domain, or we've done whatever we needed to do to protect ourselves.
Well, and if not, well, we have to deal with it now.
Well, Gary's not paying for it.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah. We know that. Hi, everybody. This is Tony Perkins.
Hi, I'm Gary Stein.
And welcome to the show, episode 17. We are so happy to have you with us. We are joined by Rob Ford Jr.
Yeah, hello, yeah, gentlemen. Yeah. Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Doing great.
Looking good.
Great weekend.
Do you think that we should stop calling you Rob Ford Jr., since now that you've taken over, there's no other Rob in the room?
That's true.
Oh, that's true.
I think it's going to be hard to not do that.
We don't have to differentiate.
No. What if we just call him Steve?
Steve. I guess we could just,
it's going to be a hard adjustment. It's not easy to make changes.
Right. And I actually like your name. And I know it's the name of a former mayor now of Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Didn't his brother win the election? I think his brother won the election. He said, I'm not going to run.
Right.
Because I've got a lot of problems.
Yeah.
His brother ran. I think his brother won.
I'll just start going by his brother's name.
Well, yeah, whatever that. Doug Ford. I think it's Doug. Yeah.
And he ran his entire campaign from a rehab center.
Well, pretty much.
Just to be able to visit his brother.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much. It's anyway, Rob Ford. Well, Rob is here.
All right. Sounds good.
No Robs to be whacked.
Robbie. Robbie. Yeah. He's very young, you know. Robbie. We told you not to do that.
We've got a lot going on today, folks. You're going to like today's show.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure.
I've got a problem.
You got a problem?
I got to talk to you about.
You know, we should take pictures today because you look good. I like this.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's like a fall look. You got a sweatshirt on. You got a turtleneck on, which you don't usually wear.
No, I don't. No.
But it looks nice.
I'm a little uncomfortable that you notice what I wear.
No. It's all good. It's all good. And you wore a turtleneck yesterday.
Yeah, but I have no idea what you wore. So that really makes me nervous.
I'm a bit of a fashionista. I notice what people are.
You're so observant.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. How do you like my eyelashes?
I don't want to go that far. But I do want to remind you, our favorite and wonderful listeners, to please like the Tony Perkins Show on Facebook and please follow us on Twitter at T-Perk Show. Don't forget to check in often because we post something new every day. And Rob is fantastic at finding stuff that, you know, we talk about on the show and putting clips and stuff on there. Fantastic, Rob.
I love what he does all week long. You're amazing. You really are.
Well, thank you. And it's a great time for the listeners. You know, check it out. And Tony and Gary both, they love talking to you.
Yes.
Feel free to comment. Don't be shy. And they'll probably get back to you.
It'll be
a great time.
If you like something, make sure to leave a comment or send us a tweet. We love hearing from you and enjoy the interaction. Well, that's essentially what Rob just said. I didn't need to read that. Once again, follow us on Twitter at T Perk Show and like the Tony Perkins Show on Facebook. Also, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching More Broadcasting and then clicking on the Tony Perkins Show.
Every time you finish that, I always feel like we're done with the show.
No,
time.
I want to make sure I get it in.
Yeah.
Before we jump in, may I open this on the air?
If I said no, would it make any difference?
So we walk into the studio, and I have a huge package on my desk from Jackie Martling.
Yes.
Who was on the show 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And Rob, you said you got a package as well?
I did.
Wow.
I didn't get a package.
No, there's nothing on your desk. Isn't that weird? You're the one who knows him best, probably.
Yes, but I got this years ago.
Oh, okay.
The packet that you have.
Well, you don't know what's in it.
I do.
Let's see. I've got a CD, Jackie's Joke Hunt. Is that a...
would you like to repeat that?
Oh, he's not even in the room and he got me.
Jackie's Joke Hunt.
I remember when he was on the show and he was plugging that, and he said it a couple times during the interview, and you gave me the dirtiest eyes every time he said it, because you're like, did he just say what I thought he just said?
Oh my god!
Did he give you the stink eye?
Oh my god! Give me the stink eye. I can't believe.
Don't say it again.
I won't.
That is so Jackie Martling.
That is very Jackie Martling.
That's my buddy.
That's funny. All right, Jackie. Thank you. A book, Jackie the Joke Man Martling's Disgustingly Dirty Joke Book. There we go.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah.
Probably can't read any of these on the air.
No,
but,
not a single one.
Nope. His other CD, Jackie Martling, F Jackie is what it's called.
Yes.
Yep, that's good. Yep. And I almost fell for it again. Look at the title of that one. I'm not saying that.
No,
on radio.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? You've done enough damage.
Okay, let me just look at the t-shirt. Jackie, I really appreciate this. I stumped Jackie the Joke Man. That's very cool.
Oh, very cool.
Very
cool.
Yeah.
But listen, I don't want to burst your bubble, but don't feel that special, because you know what? If you say hi to Jackie, you get this in the mail.
Yeah. He did. He said on our show to our listeners, if you just send me your email and I'll email you my CDs.
He'll email you clothing.
How's he making money if he just mails this stuff out to people?
Nobody said he is. I don't know. He doesn't live in a hovel. He actually has a nice house.
Well, Jackie, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I got to tell you something. I'm surprised that I'm even able to do a show today.
Why is that?
I'm not sure.
Are you...
No, I'm not. There's nothing. I'm
You're
not
aggravated.
I'm not aggravated today,
good.
But there was an error in judgment.
Uh-oh.
And
on your part?
Completely on my part.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm not really sure that I.
Can you tell me about it?
I can tell you a little bit about it. I think I'm overcompensating by trying to be a little bit maybe too funny right now, just because I'm just not in a good place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So whenever I come down, you know that I come down on the train.
Right. You take the train down.
And I often like to watch a movie on the train.
From New Jersey.
From New Jersey. Yeah. Every time we do the show, I take the train down, and Tony doesn't travel more than about a mile.
Fantastic.
And he complains about that.
No, I do not.
No, but I have to say something nasty because you're my friend. So, I usually find some light fare, something to just watch on the train and enjoy.
Like
if Spiewak was here, we'd be talking about screwball comedies of the 30s and some fun stuff. And I don't really know what got into me this particular trip, but I decided I hadn't seen this in a long time. So I put on Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah, that's an error in judgment.
I'm on the train and I'm watching, I'm living in the Holocaust.
No.
And I'm on my
good.
Way down to do a comedy show.
And
I thought, not too far from the beginning of the movie, that this was a mistake. And I'll tell you what I did. I didn't want anybody to see on the train that I was watching Schindler's List. Not because it's an incredible movie.
It's fantastic.
It's
amazing.
I don't think they would have thought anything bad about me watching it, because they don't know why I'm coming down here.
Right.
But, you don't want to expose people to that writing on the train if they don't want to see people getting murdered. Have you ever watched a film on a plane or a train and you turn your laptop or whatever it's on to yourself because of the content?
Yeah, so that other people can't
don't see
it.
What you're watching.
Right. Yes.
Well, that's what I did. I sat on the window seat. At the window seat and put my laptop on the aisle seat and turned it completely in my direction when I realized that I was reliving the Holocaust.
I did that once. I was watching Heinfeld, which was a parody of Seinfeld. Heinefeld is what it was called, actually. And I didn't think other people should be seeing that.
I haven't watched anything else that would make people think something about me.
No, but you know what? I wouldn't be ashamed of watching. Well, I know you're not ashamed, but I wouldn't be worried about people seeing me watch Schindler's List.
It's a strange choice for traveling.
Well, especially on a train.
I mean, on anything. If you're on an airplane and you're watching United 93, do you want people to know you're watching that
not
movie?
Not on an airplane.
Snakes on a plane?
Snakes on a plane?
No.
So, anyway.
You know what would have been interesting, though?
What?
If you were watching it, let other people see that you're watching it, if you were laughing during it. Like, just inappropriately laughing, like it's a comedy every few minutes.
Let me say something. I only laughed at the funny parts. And the movie is so long.
It is long.
That it's one of those DVDs where the rest of the movie's on the other side. And on that long train ride, I only got through part one, which means tonight when I go back, I have to watch the rest of it.
Oh, you know how it turns out.
And unfortunately, we know the end.
Yes, yes, you know. Yes. Can I admit something that I'm a little embarrassed to admit?
Well, whatever it is,
please,
you should
do.
Be.
Yeah, yeah. I have never seen all of Schindler's List.
Wow.
I saw all of 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I saw.
So
I watched.
You did your part. I should do my part.
I watched Roots. And you won't watch. So what's the matter? You don't care about my people?
I watched Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles.
So that means you appreciate Mel Brooks? And
I appreciate Jewish humor. No, the
Holocaust is not about Jewish humor.
No, I know that. I was just reaching for a Jewish
I think
movie.
You have to be Mel Brooks to even, you know, to do anything funny about the Holocaust, because there was nothing funny in this movie.
Oh,
you know?
Of course not. Of course not.
It's one of the most brilliant Spielberg films.
It's fantastic. But I will tell you, obviously, it's a heavy movie.
What the hell am I doing watching that to come down here to have a good time?
To do a comedy show, that's terrible.
Yeah,
that's really not well
thought out. I told you it was an error in judgment, and it's the first time I've made one.
Schindler's List. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see Schindler's List 2? I did see that one.
Schindler's
no,
List
No, I'm kidding.
It's actually on side B of his DVD that he has to flip over.
But that's the animated version.
Can you imagine that?
Could you?
Schindler's List 2.
Yeah. The story continues. Oh, boy.
12 and a half years a slave, the sequel. Because they always have to do the, like, Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah.
You know, they
Dumb and Dumber.
Right. They always have to do a little parody of the first one.
I have no intention of seeing Dumb and Dumber 2 because I didn't see Dumb and Dumber 1.
Well, I saw Dumb and Dumber 1, and that's a funny movie.
Really?
It's stupid funny. Did you see it?
I did. You have to go in with low expectations.
The funniest scene in the movie is completely disgusting.
Yes.
The toilet scene.
Oh, yeah.
But it was funny, but it's 20 years ago. These guys, Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, the trailer for the movie, oh, my God, they look so terrible. They look old.
They really do.
And they're back in those haircuts.
It just
looks kind of sad, and it doesn't look that funny.
It doesn't look like it has funnier moments than Schindler. It doesn't, no, to me.
It might have the same number of laughs, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, Schindler's List, a great movie.
Yeah,
we highly recommended it, but not if you're going to make people laugh. on your way to make people laugh. Speaking of movies.
And a way to make people laugh.
And a way to make people laugh. And Rob, I know you saw this. Gary and I want to say what we said at the top of the show. Our listeners, you people are fantastic. You're funny. You get it. The responses that you have to the stuff that we do on the show that you then post about on Facebook and Twitter, where you get the jokes and you're building on the jokes, we love it. It is fantastic.
And we're not saying this just to try to build listeners.
No.
Because Tony and I have talked about this before. You know, we've played games, and then Rob Ford Jr., mm-hmm. I did it again, loads things for the audience to ponder and
right.
to play with. Some
right.
of the games that we've played.
Right.
I wrote on our fan page that I think you guys are so smart.
Well, here's why we're saying this. A couple of weeks ago, Gary told his embarrassing celebrity story about his encounter with Jane Fonda at a big Hollywood party, and how the celebrities were playing this game where you had to insert the name of an artist into a movie title,
right.
change the movie title to include the name of an artist, and you thought of a great one. You told Kevin Klein.
It was Easy Monet.
Easy Monet instead of Easy Money. Very funny. Kevin repeated it to everybody.
And ruined my career with Jane Fonda's house.
You're right. Jane Fonda was extremely ticked off.
And not that I wanted to be her permanent bartender.
Right, exactly, but, yeah. exactly. So now a whole bunch of you...
Joined in
on this, and this is on... is this on Facebook? Yeah, this is from Facebook.
Yeah.
I want to read some of these because they're absolutely fantastic. First of all, Gary, you then put on Facebook another one, a Bogart movie directed by John Huston, The Matisse Falcon.
Yes.
That's
yes.
really good.
But, you know, I only put it on after I saw that our friends were playing the game.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I wanted to play again.
All right. We got to give you guys some credit. Gail Stein Raymond, that is your sister.
That is my sister.
She went on Facebook. She posted Gunfight at the OK Corral. Rather than Corral. And, of course, that's a reference to Jean-Baptiste Camille Corot, who was a French landscape and portrait painter in the 19th century. Early 19th century, yeah.
Why do you know that?
I know my art.
Really?
Yeah, I know my art.
With or without Wikipedia? you're not admitting it.
I plead the fifth on that. All right. Gail posted another one. She writes, and of course, the ever-popular Gauguin My Way.
Yes, the famous Bing Crosby movie.
Right, Going My Way. That's a Paul Gauguin reference. Great French post-impressionist.
Yes, he was, Tony.
Yes, he was.
Next week, Tony talks about his knowledge of science.
Give me enough prep time and I will. Instead of Reservoir Dogs, Brad Backus writes Renoir Dogs, which is great.
Love that one. Oh, you've got to do this one.
Okay.
Yeah. This is absurd, but it's perfect.
So then, Jackie Martling, we're referring to Jackie again.
He's getting a lot of runtime.
Yeah.
Can't stay off our website.
No, which is fine. That's great. We love him. Jackie posts, Gone with Ed Wynn. Rather than Gone with the Wind.
Some of you may not know that Ed Wynn, you know, we get criticized for being old-timey. Ed Wynn's been dead for 30 years, but he was a vaudevillian, you know,
comedian.
Like started in the teens or 20s.
Right.
You know?
He's not an artist.
And yeah. But by the way, Jackie, he's not an artist. Did you know that? Maybe Ed Wynn painted, and we never knew that.
Maybe so. Maybe that's.
I don't think Jackie cared.
I think he was just going for a joke.
Exactly.
That's very funny.
Yes.
Let's see. Tom Galambos. Tom, I hope I'm getting that right. The Rodin to Perdition. Instead of the Road to Perdition, Rodin.
Tony, tell us a little bit about Rodin.
Rodin's one of my favorite sculptors of all time, French sculptor. Uh-huh. I think he lived, if I recall, 1840 to 1917, and he created the Gates of Hell, which was on display here in Washington many, many years ago. And one of his most famous sculptures is The Thinker.
Yes. Yes. Many people know that. But what was his blood type?
Oh, I don't know that much about the artist, Gary. I just am interested in their work.
I see. Okay. Nice way to get out of that.
Yes, thank you. Here's one I didn't get. Raiders of the Lost Arp.
Right.
I did look this one up. Hans Arp. He was a German-French sculptor. First of all, there's a theme here. Most of these artists were French.
Yes. And that's also from Tom.
Oh, that's from Tom, too. Yeah. Tom Galambos. Yes. Yeah. A German-French sculptor, painter, and poet. Raiders of the Lost Arp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Laurie Taylor Engel, An Affair to Rembrandt.
Yes. I like that. You got a funny look on
it's
your face.
It's a little bit of a stretch. A little bit. But I like it.
Well, listen, An Affair to Remember was a very famous movie.
Oh, absolutely.
So I get it.
I get it.
And I think it's a good one.
Yeah. All right.
I think you're a little bit too judgmental.
Okay. No, I like it. Hey, my good friend, I went to college, Alan Wenzel, who is now listening to the show. Alan, I love you. He's a great guy.
He's also been making great comments on our
really
website.
Does.
I love that.
He really does. He sent Van Gogh West, young man. That is great. Yeah. That is great. Craig, I'm sorry?
I was going to say, he also, what I like about what Alan does, he's very thorough. He writes, 1936, directed by Henry Hathaway, that would please Rob Spiewak.
Right.
Because it was made at just the right time.
Well, and actually, he also wrote, 1936, directed by Henry Hathaway, just ask Gary, he'll remember.
Yes.
Oh, I love you guys.
I was there on the set when they were making that film.
That's right. You were a script runner.
Yes.
Craig Horlman, Hello Dolly.
Yes.
Yep. That's a good one. Merle Rogers, he writes in a lot. The Whistler Blower.
I'm not sure Merle is a he.
Yeah.
Merle would be a woman?
No, yeah.
Merle is a woman.
I'm sorry.
A delightful woman.
Yes, I'm sure she is. We'll fix that in post.
We're going to leave it just as it is.
The Whistleblower, Merle. Thank you very much. All right, I had to look this up. Russell Belding. Russell took the easy way out. The movie he quoted was I Shot Andy Warhol.
And what did he adjust in making that title up?
Nothing. No. Yeah,
nothing.
Because that's the name of the movie.
Yeah. Russell, we love you, but you're a cheater.
Yeah. It's a 1996 movie about this woman who did indeed shoot Andy Warhol.
I'm going to call Jane Fonda and say, Russell's not playing the game right. you should banish him from your backyard as well.
Russell also sent in, instead of Wyatt Earp, Wyeth Earp.
Which is terrific.
Yeah, that's great. A reference to Andrew Wyatt. American painter, realist painter, as a matter of fact. All right, I'll go through the rest of these real quick. Someone else who cheated, which is great, though. This is Anita Ford. Oh, that's your mom,
that's
isn't it?
That's my mom, yeah.
You just called Rob Ford's mother a cheat.
No.
Yes, you did.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail, this isn't a cheat. This is fine. Referring to Python and Hello. I don't really know this artist.
I think she's much smarter than us because
all of these people are smarter than us.
Well, yes, but especially Anita because she is Rob's mother.
Yeah.
And
she's way smarter than me.
Is John just as smart as Anita?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why does she? Did she study art or something?
No.
I've never heard of this painting.
But she loves to tell people that she appreciates art.
Okay, well, that's one of those things we all like to tell people. Oh, yes, I enjoy art. Python and Hello, or Angel, I don't know what his name is. He's a Romanian graphic artist. The Monet Pit.
The Money Pit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was Samantha Farrell.
Yep. Do you get this one, Gary, from Doug Carlson? Nightmare on Elmo Street?
Well, we certainly know that he's referring to Nightmare on Elm Street,
yes,
but I don't know who Elmo is.
I could not find... I found a tattoo artist named Elmo.
I think what happened is he probably discovered that Elmo, the character, probably liked painting.
Okay.
And if that's not a stretch, right. I don't know what is.
Dave Kent, Absence of Matisse...
Yes.
John Ford, is that your father?
That's my dad, yeah.
Wow, okay. Singleton's Pollock.
So explain to us, if he's your dad, Singleton's Pollock, because we don't get it.
I don't get it either.
But here's where I thought you were going to go. If John Ford is your father, why are you Rob Ford Jr.? Or are we getting into an area?
Well, that was the name that you gave me because I was a younger Rob Ford, the mayor.
Oh, so you're not junior.
I'm not junior.
Oh, you're just Rob Ford.
I am.
We stuck the junior on. Well,
that's the bit.
Wait. Why did you never tell us?
I thought that was the bit. I thought it was a younger Rob Ford, the mayor.
No, we actually...
We thought you were Rob Ford Jr.
Maybe...
Well, you know that's what? Just miscommunication on both sides.
Maybe you're not even Tony Perkins.
On this show, we are learning just how stupid we are.
That's right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still going to call you Rob Ford Jr. I don't care.
Singleton's Pollock. Okay. I don't get it. Rames Man instead of Rain Man. That's from Matthew Press. How would you say that name, Gary?
I would say Preissner.
Preissner. Mm-hmm. Okay. Walt Shinsky, Star Warhols. Yeah, that's
yes.
good. Jenny Crownover, Cat on a Hot Tintoretto Roof.
Tell me a little bit about Tintoretto.
Oh, Tintoretto.
Is that a pizzeria?
It could. Wouldn't that be a great name for a pizzeria?
Yeah.
Tintoretto was an Italian Renaissance artist who lived from 1518 to 1594.
Oh.
You're 16th century. You're a Renaissance man.
Thank you very much. I consider myself
that. That was Tintoretto.
And a fraud.
You know who was a Renaissance man? Was Rembrandt. I actually learned this stuff. Your mom also wrote in The Lion O'Keefe. I think that's a parody of The Lion King.
Yeah, right. I'm going to discount that. Anita, I'm sorry, we do love you.
They really want to play along, but
too much of a stretch.
And then finally, Tom
again.
Yeah, okay, this one I had to look up too. Some Like It Howls.
Yeah.
Instead of Some Like It Hot.
Right, I don't get it.
We're going to reject that one. That's from Frans Hals, who was a Dutch Golden Age painter, second only to Rembrandt in terms of Dutch painters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. Is that it?
Tony, can you tell us a lot about some of the most famous photographers? Because I like photography,
maybe
there are some I don't know.
Ansel Adams shot pictures of the West and the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, yes, he did. He did. That sounds so pathetic.
Okay. That's the only one I can think of.
I don't like when you try to fool our audience.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah,
those are brilliant.
Know.
We love them. We love them.
Keep it coming.
That's
whenever
great.
We play games, please play along. We really, really think it's a lot of fun for us.
Absolutely. All right, man. I know there's a lot going on with you.
There is. You know, and I actually thought about not bringing it up, and then I thought, you know what? I always say I'm not going to do something personal, but I wrote the most personal article for Men's Health magazine you could possibly ever write
years ago, in
terms of embarrassment when we were on Good Morning America. In fact, if any of you want to look up, you can go on the internet and you can look up, I can't really say it. It's Men's Health Magazine, Perils of the...
You could say that word, penis.
Yes.
Perils of the penis.
Yes. Yeah. Or your penis. Mm. Or look up your penis in peril, Men's Health, and an article that I wrote will come up.
Did you write it under an assumed name? Or
I wanted to.
Oh, but they wouldn't let you.
No, they said, if you don't want your name on it by the time you finish writing this thing, we'll allow you to not do it. And you know, by the time I was done... Mm-hmm. The whole experience was so unbelievably embarrassing. I couldn't really be any more embarrassed. Mm-hmm. So I wrote about what this was like for me, and I wrote it in the waiting room of a doctor's mm-hmm. office.
And so, and Men's Health magazine, it's not salacious, obviously.
No.
It's about mm-hmm. a problem you're having with your penis. not the problem you all will think.
It's better than someone else having a problem with my penis. I'm glad that it was me, that I had the problem. And
right.
I think we've talked about that enough.
All right. This one, if you're trying to look it up, it's years ago. It's like 10 years ago.
It was many years ago, yeah. And, you know, no problem here.
Yeah,
you
not
know?
The problem you're thinking
no,
yet.
No, no, no.
Okay.
You know, I'm so sorry we went there.
You win. I wasn't going to go there.
I wasn't either, but I never know. Okay, so I'm not great with health issues.
Okay.
I'm really not. And my wife said to me, most men aren't,
mm-hmm.
that we're babies.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not really actually something to be that babyish about. This is real, and I have had some heart issues.
Recently.
Very recently, in the last couple of weeks. In fact, I discovered it the last time I came down. I was running up the stairs at the train station, and I felt some extra heartbeats, and that's all. And I thought, well, that's nothing, but I was encouraged to check it out.
That would be the theme to the TV show Emergency. Just
how did you do that now when you didn't know that I was going to bring up this subject?
I'm a man of many talents.
All right, take it down. So I realize, although I am a little phobic mm-hmm. about these any kind of ailment, any health issue,
yes. I'm
and you're a little bit there too.
You're not as much as you.
Oh, come on.
No, not as much as you.
Go with me on this.
You have something happens, and you kind of immediately go to the worst case scenario.
Okay, let's just say for fact, I ruminate like crazy,
yes.
and I go to sick places.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
So if I have a little something, I'm going to make it a bigger something.
Right.
And I think it aggravates my wife a little bit because she has to keep talking me down.
Right, right,
but,
right.
But so in this case, you know, I had an EKG the next day because I don't wait. Even though I'm phobic about mm-hmm. this stuff, mm-hmm. I'm not phobic about, all right, let's find out what this is, which is good because
right.
there are a lot of people who refuse to go to the doctor, right?
Right? That's right.
So I did go and they said, you have a perfect EKG and we left it at that. But couple of days later, I had some, and this was my GP.
It's like palpitations.
Yeah, yes. They don't last. It's like I got two or three extra heartbeats. It feels like
mm-hmm.
I can feel it. So now I book it with a cardiologist,
true.
And I go, and for 24 hours they had me wear something to check my heartbeat all for the entire 24 hours.
So like a heart monitor.
It's a heart monitor.
Not something.
Well, I couldn't think of the word. You know, that's why I need your help. You know,
I don't
have Wikipedia. In front of me. So, you know, they're not. I'm not always facile. It's not always there, especially since I'm talking about...
Going back to the penis problem now.
A misuse of words by Tony Perkins. He thinks that flaccid is facile.
Oh, I got them confused.
There you go.
But you knew I made the right mistake. You knew what I...
Yes, because you've probably dealt with the word flaccid before. Don't make me go there when I'm upset about a health issue.
If I had, I would have known the correct word. All right, go ahead.
Boy, something happened today, and I feel like I'm facile down there. Anyway, so I went to a cardiologist. This was not going to be a long story. So I went to a cardiologist, and they wanted me to do more. And I had an echocardiogram, and I had another EKG, and I had a stress test. And in the stress test, I'm watching the EKG on the stress
mm-hmm,
test,
mm-hmm.
and there were a couple of sudden spikes.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, did you feel that? And I said, yes, I did. And she said, those are extra heartbeats.
Mm.
And she said, I'm going to send you to an electrocardiologist just to sort of be sure. And she said, you don't have heart damage. The echocardiogram shows that your heart is functioning perfectly, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not in a place where I'm believing any of this.
Okay, let me ask you...
Ha 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 Okay.
Rob Ford is not taking this very seriously.
Right.
This is a true story Gary is telling.
All right. So, Rob, since you went there, she's telling me
that was hard to take.
You're fine. I say, well, can I go play racquetball, which is my passion? And she said, yes, play racquetball. It's good for your heart. I said, can I go to Washington this weekend? She said, yes, you can go. But in my mind, here's what I'm hearing. I'm listening to my doctor tell me that I'm going to be fine, yeah. And in my mind, I have flatlined.
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking, like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, mm-hmm. I'm worth a lot more dead than alive.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, she's talking to me. I'm panicking a little bit, but I don't want to show her that I'm
right.
a baby.
Right.
You know, she doesn't see the pull-ups or anything. and I'm going, are our premiums paid up? Because, you know, I mean, and what am I doing that for? I know I'm all over the place because this is a hard subject for me to talk about in a cohesive way, obviously. So the electrophysiologist, cardiologist, mm-hmm. says, I want you to wear a heart monitor for an entire week.
Wow.
I'm wearing one right now.
You've got it on right now,
yeah.
Under your shirt.
And I get to get rid of it tomorrow when I go back to the electrophysiologist to have her read everything that's happened. But here's something that was very disturbing during this past week.
Sure.
I carry a cell phone that's hooked up to the thing that I'm wearing around my
yeah.
chest, and then I have electrodes on my chest. I'm like Frankenstein.
Right.
And so I'm being monitored 24 hours a day, but if I have an issue, I'm supposed to push a button on the mm-hmm. on the thing, which mm-hmm. rings the phone, and it tells them what's going on. But they called me a few days ago and said, were you aware of anything at 7:20? And I'm thinking, are they watching us?
Why?
You know, because maybe you know, there was a moment
right.
in my bedroom that they shouldn't have seen. But actually, it's not really sexy to be wearing electrodes.
No, I would imagine that, you know, put a damper on things.
It did. It
yeah.
did. So, you know, it's been a very quiet week. but anyway, so they call and they said, were you aware of anything at 7:20? And I said, just tell me what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you weren't breathing for 4.5 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I said,
were you awake, asleep?
I was asleep.
Okay.
And I said, no, completely unaware.
Okay.
Completely unaware.
Right.
And really, since the first few skipped beat things, mm-hmm. haven't had any more. I haven't had
good.
Any more.
That's good. That's
but
good.
Then 2 days ago, I was told I had another 4.5 seconds where my...
Okay.
Now, I don't really know, and listeners may know the answer to this, and I will certainly find out tomorrow.
Absolutely.
When I go.
Right.
I don't really know if it means that I'm not breathing, my lungs aren't breathing, you know, I'm not...
Or your heart's not beating.
Or my heart's not beating. I'm not sure. I think it's the heart. I think that it slows down, and...
And this does happen to people.
It does.
It's not a function of age. It can happen at any age. Let me tell you something.
You could be very young and have this happen.
I've seen a cardiologist. The first time I saw a cardiologist was probably around 30.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 30 years old, and I found out that, in fact, I have a slight, it's called, I don't know if I should give specifics.
Is it a murmur?
It's not really a murmur. It's called a first-degree AV block. And essentially what that means is it's an electrical issue, like it sounds like
mine
you're
is
having,
electrical,
yeah,
absolutely.
In the heart. It's one of my valves is slightly out of sync with the other valves. I never feel it.
Right.
We're just aware of it. You know, every now and then they check it just to make sure the degree of difference hasn't changed. It's never changed. It's probably something I was born with, and I'll always have. Your issue. Thank you. No, I'm not having a heart attack. That's a pretty good find, too. Olivia Newton-John. That's pretty good.
You know what I like? He's having a fine old time with this.
Yes, he is.
You know?
We're revealing.
You're talking about an issue that could have been serious. I'm monitored right now,
right.
And he's playing happy heart
because
music.
Because he's in his 20s.
And we're going to get to that because that has to do with feeling somewhat immortal.
Right. But here's the thing, and you're doing all the right thing. I know you're a bit of a I wouldn't say you're a hypochondriac.
Don't go there. I am.
Well, you worry.
I'm a hypochondriac. Who now has reason to be concerned about
right.
something I'm dealing with.
Right.
So that's my worst fear.
Sure.
My worst fear is I know that I can be phobic.
Right.
I can be a hypochondriac.
Right.
And everybody says to me, that's going to turn out to be nothing.
Right. But here's the good thing.
They're also saying that about this.
Right. And here's the good thing. I mean, you know, sometimes hypochondriacs are hypochondriacs and they're just crazy. But here's what's good about you. And I've known this about you for many years. If you really feel like there's something going on, you go to the doctor. And
I do.
That's great because most men. men, and I'm like you, I do that. Most men don't. And you know what? Better to go and find out it's nothing. Now, in this case, it turns out it's a little something.
Right.
But they have, you've now found that out. They'll monitor it. They'll do whatever they have to do to fix it. It's good you don't have heart damage. It's an electrical problem.
Right.
Now, when I went to the cardiologist again, I was a young man. I remember they said, well, you know, if it's this or that, if it's an electrical issue or we see a change in the amount of time in the difference between the valves.
So you can't explain it any better than I could, because you're in it. But here's what I remember.
He said, you know, we can put a pacemaker in, and then if we, and I'm like, whoa.
How did you feel when you heard the word pacemaker?
Oh, I'm like, are you kidding me? You're not going into my...
Because I heard it last week.
Did you? Yes. Well, here's the thing. You and I remember when pacemakers first started going into people, they were fairly...
They were bigger than a boombox.
Yeah. Not quite that big, but they were big, and it was a huge deal to open up the chest and do all that. It's nothing now. It's routine.
You're right.
They're little.
But I got to say something about that. It's little, but it's a sign of something that I can't even get near. And that's just me, and that's my problem. Listen, it tells me that, you know, when you're young, maybe when you're Rob's age and younger than Rob, and I always felt this way. Well, that's not going to happen to me.
Right.
Nothing's going to go wrong with me. You know, and of course, we all know we're going to go to a place where you're doing the dirt nap.
Right.
You know, but I never think that I'm going to get there.
Right, of course.
So when anything comes up that is a physical change, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
And so I said to my doctor, kind of with a whimper, I don't want a pacemaker. And she said to me, with as much patience as she could muster, you know, she said, you're not heading for a pacemaker.
Okay.
So she better not be lying or wrong, but I just think that we're dealing with something that is going to be medication.
Yeah.
She's, you know, now with the thing that's happening at night, they're basically looking for
sleep apnea. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. And she said,
I can diagnose this.
Thank you, doctor.
Yeah.
You know a lot about art. I wonder if Matisse ever had a pacemaker.
You know what I noticed about all those artists? Most of them died very young because they didn't have pacemakers and stuff back then.
Did any of them have a podcast?
No.
So I am dealing with what I think. Yeah. I think many people go through this. I think we feel immortal when we're younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as we start facing issues, whether it's because you're getting older or not, but certainly as you get older, you're going to start dealing with more and more things. So it's affecting my sense of self, where I know that I am not immortal. I am I don't have high blood pressure, but things are going to start happening.
You're one of the healthiest people I know. I know you've had issues over the years. You got the knee thing because you were an athlete and all that kind of thing.
I've played racquetball like 4 days a week for the last 30 years, so my knees are crushed.
Yeah.
But when the doctor said you can play racquetball, I've played almost every day this week just to try to prove to myself that I'm okay. So my knees are killing me, but my heart, my knees are so sore, but I played 2.5 hours of racquetball a day.
You're a very complex man because with the hypochondria, with the concern about the heart, even though the doctor said, go out and play racquetball like you always do, I'm surprised that you've done it because I would think part of you would be, get Olivia Newton-John ready, please. Mm. I would think part of you would be thinking, if I play racquetball, I might have a... and that you would shy away from it.
Well, here's what I was thinking. If I'm playing racquetball and I have a heart attack and I survive it...
Can I just say, this is the most airplay Olivia Newton-John's gotten in years.
It's true. And that's sad. So if I survived it, one of the cliches about my people is that we sue everybody. Well, we don't.
Oh, okay.
But maybe I would consider a lawsuit because, I'm worth more dead than alive, but I'd like to be worth more alive than dead.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. The playing of racquetball and the playing the 2 hours, 2.5 hours that I usually play was me trying to prove to myself that they're right. And I can't tell you what that sport does for me in terms of the endorphins that it releases.
Sure.
And it gets me out of my neurotic head. Most of my friends say, I play to get that aerobic workout. I like to play just to get that sweat. I say to all of them, I play to win.
Well,
I'm going to beat you today.
Right.
I'm going to beat you every day. I like to play that sport, and I always have at a very high level.
I have to say, I understand completely. I get the exact same benefit, the endorphins Germans and the Russian everything from watching people play that sport. It's fantastic.
Well, considering no one's ever taken a picture of you doing anything physical.
No. I play football every week with my son in the backyard.
You know,
and
what?
I always say it's...
You're so pathetic. Your son is 11. He's 11. I bet you don't even have to run.
No, I'm running. Ask my wife. And every week I say, one of our neighbors was there yesterday watching. I'm playing with like six kids, 11-year-olds. And my neighbor said to me what I say every week, this is either going to keep you young or it's going to kill you.
In 15 years, I have never seen you walk fast. We've been in hurricanes, right? We've never run from it. I mean, I've run away from like the falling glass windows.
Yeah.
You're sauntering. And I think you're sauntering quickly, but I don't think you know how to run.
I can be physical.
You know what? I'm going to tape you playing football with your son, and we're going to put that on the website.
That would be, you know what? That'd be great.
We're going to do that.
You're going to be fine. Thank you for sharing. I think it's important to share that kind of thing.
Well, the most important thing I want people to know about this is not really how neurotic I am, because you've already known that from the podcast. What I do want you to know is what Tony said before. If you feel anything, don't be embarrassed about going to an emergency room and having them tell you that you're fine, which may make you feel embarrassed. That's ridiculous.
Go.
My wife knows that I have a propensity for overreacting, and she's the first one to tell me we're going to the hospital.
It's an important message.
And I feel embarrassed.
And take it from Gary Stein, whether it's a heart issue or an issue with your penis, go to the emergency room and have them check it out.
I want you to know something very important. My penis has never flatlined. And that's the end of that story.
Oh, my God. All right. I have not even mentioned it on the show. We've got a guest today. Again, I'm going to make reference to Jackie Martling, because Jackie was on 2 weeks ago. He told some great stories, and he mentioned Rob Bartlett, a comedian. Many of you know him from I Miss in the Morning.
If you keep mentioning Jackie, he's going to keep calling me.
I know.
He's calling me every day.
He wants back on.
Well, every single day, text.
Jackie, we'll have you on. I promise we'll have you on. He mentioned Rob Bartlett, who was one of my favorite comedians of all time. I used to work with him periodically. So, Rob, we reached out to each other, got back in touch. Rob Bartlett is going to be on. I want to play a little bit of something. He's on the I Miss in the Morning show, which is on radio, and it's on TV. Rob plays a whole bunch of characters. This week, he did something which was so funny. They announced the name of the new Star Wars movie this week. The new one coming out is called The Force Awakens.
Yes.
So he did a bit. He does voices and stuff. He did Larry Flint.
Is he going to hear this or no?
We'll get him on afterwards.
Okay.
Well, he did Larry Flint talking about the release of the new title for the Star Wars movie. Let's play a little bit of Rob Bartlett from I Miss in the Morning.
Yesterday, there was the largest simultaneous mass orgasm in history ever recorded. Every mouth-breathing World of Warcraft playing, pudding-eating 35-year-old virgin living in his mother's basement found out the title of the next Star Wars movie.
Wow.
Episode 7, The Force Awakens. I guess Star Wars Episode 7, this one won't suck quite as bad as the last three. Didn't test all that. I'm surprised, seeing as how Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford are back in it, they didn't call it Revenge of the Fat Crazy Princess and Her Grandfather. We'll be trotting around the galaxy, don't you think? Chewbacca's got great pubic hair by now. Millennium Falcon's got curb feelers on it, doing less than warp speed with its left blinker on. Force Awakens sounds like the title to a movie I'd make about a guy with erectile dysfunction. Discovers the power of Viagra. Help me, Woody, one big bony. You're my only hope. CGI isn't quite good enough to make it look large enough for 3D. It also isn't far along yet to make Harrison Ford look like he doesn't need a truss.
Oh, boy.
Even though he got killed in Return of the Jedi, I hear Jabba the Hutt is back. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Carrie Fisher.
Oh,
I guess there's no salad in space.
Rob Bartlett doing Larry Flint on the Imus show.
And then if you go on to hear the rest of it, you hear Don Imus's reaction.
That was really funny.
Oh my God, he sounds 180.
Oh my God,
that was a long sentence for him. Too. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Can we call Rob on the phone? Let's get Rob on the phone. Rob Bartlett, who is going to be appearing in New Hampshire on November 29th. He's doing a in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Okay.
Doing a Christmas show at the Music Hall. We'll ask him a little bit about that. And as we mentioned, this guy has been on. He's had a TV career. He's had a stage career. He's, you know, tons of
stuff.
I
didn't realize how much acting he's done. He's done a lot of acting. He was recently on Broadway.
Yeah,
hi. Yes. This is the Bartlett family.
What?
Leave a message.
Wait a minute. I just.
Wait, wasn't that Rob doing a voice?
Yeah, I just told him we're calling. Wait a minute. Let's get him. Try again. I couldn't find the phone. That's what he just texted me. Try again. I couldn't find the phone.
Wow.
All right.
What's he been doing on a Sunday afternoon?
All right. We'll try him again.
There you go.
A big build up here.
Yeah. Really. I'm already let down. I don't care if he picks up or not.
Hello,
Rob Bartlett.
Yes.
Did you find the phone
now?
What happened? Where was the phone, Rob?
I don't know. I had one with me, but I didn't realize that the battery was out, so I had to find the other one.
Rob, this is
while
very
you were
sad.
Calling and,
hi, this is Tony.
The
Rob
dog ate it and peed on my homework. I'm sorry.
How are you, sir?
Good. Good. Long time.
It's been a very long time. I'm Tony, of course. This is Gary. Say hi to Gary.
Hey there. How are you, Rob?
Good, Gary. And you?
I'm just fine.
Our producer is Rob Ford. I know. Yes, he has the name of the mayor. But
I do. Hello.
It's a different Rob Ford.
Hey, Rob.
I'm going to rehab, all right? I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Sure, I smoke crack, but that doesn't mean I'm a bad person.
You got to be disappointed that he's no longer going to be the mayor of Toronto. There goes some material, right?
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Very sad. Yeah. A sad day in comedy.
Well, listen, Rob, it is thrilling to talk to you again. It has been many, many years. We talked about on the show that you, and I'm not just saying this, you were one of my favorite people to watch do comedy and to work with because of the good times that we would have on stage and off stage after the shows and everything.
Isn't Tony a suck up?
Well, because I know for a fact he said the same thing to Jackie. He said the same thing to
Rob. He said it to me when we started doing the podcast together, and I've never done stand up.
No, it's true. It is true. How are you? What's going on with you?
I'm still working with Imus.
Yeah.
Going on my 28th year of doing that and still doing shows around.
28 years? Nobody can make a career out of one show, Rob. You that's amazing. That's amazing.
Well, I've built a number of careers. Well, you know, when one dries up, I just slide into the other one. So,
I was a little surprised. You know, of course, I've known your comedy for years, but I was a little surprised at how much acting you do.
Yes, I've been very fortunate, being that I don't have to go on the road for stand-up. I do like one-nighters and stuff, so I can pretty much stay in town. I've been able to do a couple of Broadway shows, which has been great, and a couple of episodes of Law & Order Special Victims Unit, and I did a couple of Ugly Bettys.
Haven't we all? Haven't we all, Rob?
Well, I mean the show.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because it seems like it started out, the first SVU was a really decent, chunky part, you know, named before, you know, in the main credits, you know, mm-hmm. and then it was this sleazy defense attorney, Milton Schoenfeld, and I represented Margot Kidder and Chad Lowe was my first case.
Wow.
And then my next case, I think I was defending Henry Winkler, and then I started to defend people who I'd never heard of, and as each appearance happened, my part got smaller and smaller.
Oh,
I think the last one I did, I nodded, I think, to the judge. I think that was what that was. Ugly Betty, I was the security guard, so it's like if I do another television show, I'm going to have to be homeless or something, because I've kind of gone down the whole way that way. So,
Rob, when you were a lawyer for Margot Kidder, was she still hiding in the bushes? or was she over that?
She did say something on set, because she was talking about, you know, her grandchildren and stuff, and she turned to me and she says, "Isn't it great to look back and watch yourself grow up on television?" I said, "Well, no, not really. I mean, this is my first real, you know, gig." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." She said, how old are you, 60, 62? And this was back when I was 40.
Oh, no.
And I said, no, I'm 40, and I also don't run around my backyard naked.
You crazy old bat.
No, she was a sweetheart. She was a doll.
Yeah. That would be, if you were a real attorney, that would be a tough case representing Margot Kidder and Chad Lowe in real life. Oh, so,
it was really sleazy because it was like an incest deal, it turned out in the end. It was like, ew.
Remember, folks, we're talking about Law & Order SVU.
Right.
This is not real life here. We're talking
fiction.
About.
No.
So let me ask you, because Gary brings this up, the TV acting, the Broadway, you've done some Broadway, a lot of Broadway work and theater work, and please, it's been a long time. Your wife has a connection to the theater, is that right?
She's a teacher, a dance teacher. She owns a dance studio.
Right.
She's ballet.
And so did that kind of help your interest in this, or is this something that you'd always wanted to do concurrently with comedy?
Well, I was a theater nerd. I was one of the drama geeks when I was in high school, so... I'd always wanted to do acting. I mean, I kind of got into comedy hoping to break into acting, because when I started, it was the days of, Robin Williams and the guys who transferred from stand-up right into sitcoms mm-hmm. and movies. And so that was my plan, following Robin Williams, Steve Martin, and, mm-hmm. Those guys. And, it took a while, but it eventually happened. I mean, I had my own show on Broadway for about 45 seconds. We opened on a Thursday. We closed on a Saturday. The pull quote from the Times review was, avert your eyes. Not exactly the kind of thing you can post in front of the theater.
Sorry about that.
But then I did Chicago for a while, and then Little Shop of Horrors and The Odd Couple.
Didn't you originate the role in Little Shop?
The Broadway role, yes. Yeah. Little Shop had never been on Broadway before, but they technically don't count it as a originating role because it had already been off Broadway.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I think it's a great story. With your wife's background with dance, had you ever thought about becoming like a ballet dancer?
I don't look that good in a tutu anymore. I used to have a killer set of legs, but
leotards are not forgiving. They're not at all.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I want to. We
you
play
can see exactly what you have and don't have.
Before we brought you on, we played a little bit from this week's IMIST show where you were Larry Flint talking about the release
the
of
new
the new
Star Wars movie.
Yeah, it was very, very funny. And one of the things that I've always liked about you, and if you don't mind doing a little bit for us, some of the people you do, you pick quirky people. Larry Flint, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. In fact, before you do anything, one of my favorite memories, and this is going back 25 years, Rob, some of the material that you did, one of the things that was killer, it may have been how you closed your set. Way back then, you used to do a whole thing on the Carvel, the ice cream. Gary, you remember Carvel ice cream shops with the ice cream cakes?
Yeah.
And you did a whole thing on Fudgy the Whale and all that. It was one of the funniest things I had ever seen.
Yeah, that was my signature piece for a while.
Yeah.
Kind of like a mini playlet where I played the owner of the Carvel store and Tom Carvel, and they were doing a commercial.
Right.
And the owner didn't really understand why he had to do buy one, get one free on Wednesdays.
Do you remember any of that?
Happy.
Can you even remember some of that?
Sure. I mean, it's just, hello, my name is Tom Carvel. And I own the Carvel ice cream supermarket. Where you can get the super smooth, super rich, made fresh daily Carvel ice cream. We're here with Mr. Louis Panabianco, owner of store 372 in the Bronx. And we got a buy one, get one free promotion, Louis. Why don't you tell us about it? I'm not exactly, in favor of this. It's a promotion they tell us we got to do. So, you buy one, and I give you one for nothing. It's like buying, two at half price, but this is like marketing, So And you know what? I don't know why. And then I would just go into this whole thing about how my wife doesn't understand English. She's from the other side. She stands in front of the store going, "Free cake, free cake, free cake." Giving it out to my daughter. Hey, my daughter's got needs an operation. She walks like a duck. She's going, "Free cake, free cake." "Daddy, why do I walk like this?" And I'm giving it away.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
That's great stuff.
No, I love when I listen to Imus that your impressions, you know, you do famous people really, really well, but I love the obscure, weird choices you make and mix it with a weird subject. And I think that's signature Rob Bartlett. It's amazing. It's very funny.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, my stock in trade is trying to twist things, you know, like do the Elephant Man as a stand-up comic. I'm not an animal. I'm a stand-up comedian. Two elephant men walk into a bar. The bartender says, "I hope you're not here for the peanuts." "Thank you. Tip your waitresses. Try the veal. Just don't eat it in front of me when my bag is off."
Oh, my God. Bizarre. Just bizarre.
Well, see, like all of the best out there, you know, I have no idea how you think of these things.
Yeah,
I really don't understand. What I love is I don't understand how your brain works. I just don't.
I don't either, and I wish I did because I could do it more frequently.
You know what?
You caught me on a good week. So.
I have to say, in terms, and Gary, you touched on something that I haven't really thought about before.
I'm sitting all the way over here. Well,
my favorite comedians are comedians who I marvel at. Where do they get that stuff? Where do they get that stuff? How do you come up with that? And that's what your act is to me. It's very much like that. Even, you know, like I said, the thing we played with Larry Flint. Why is Larry Flint talking about, you know, the new Star Wars movie of all people? But it's just a great, bizarre choice.
How do these things come to you?
I discover I can do somebody's voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, well, I can do that. You know, and it's not a lot. I mean, everyone can do Christopher Walken. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do impressions of, like, you know, my next door neighbor. I mean, people who have absolutely can do nothing for my career. I can do that. there's not a lot of call. You know, for they're not hiring. You know, Elephant Man. Or, you know, they're not exactly looking to cast Larry Flint in the next sitcom. So, when I can do a voice, you know, that's how my Dr. Phil started. I was watching Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil started. So I would start talking along with him on the television until I had the pattern down. And you know, that, because he seemed like a good guy that could explore the recesses of, you know, Imus's mind, you know.
We're going to ask Dr. Phil a question. Gary spent a good part of the show today talking about the fact that he's a bit of a hypochondriac and worries that every time the slightest little thing happens to him,
I'm going to flatline.
Yeah, he's going to flatline. Dr. Phil, what kind of advice would you give to Gary about that?
Well, Gary, what you need to do is get behind the idea that Tony is the star of the show. All right?
I'm writing it down.
He is the one who's got the marquee value. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He is the one. You need to take a personal inventory and figure out what there is in your body, in your mind, that makes you think that you are worthy of being on the same program as him. That's a guy who has done weather with Ringo Starr, and you're some knob jockey for all anybody knows. They have no idea what in the hell you do. And real world, you really got to go down and maybe get a flu shot or something, because you can't be calling in sick all the time.
Dr. Phil, you know what? I've written all of this down, and I'm going to take your advice. I don't belong here.
You got a real problem there, Gary.
That's great. That's great. Do they, on the Imus show, and you know what? The fact that you've been with that show forever is amazing, because that's as you well know, that's a business where things change. Well, they've changed for Imus over the years, but the fact that you've been able to hang in there, maintain that, and maintain that relationship and all of that is pretty remarkable. That doesn't happen much in that world.
Well, you know, I think stand-ups are kind of resilient, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been through just about everything, you know. We've been to clubs where they put you up in the back of the club near the walk-in freezer, you know. We've been to, you know, I did a show for an audience of deaf people, and the people who came up for autographs at the end were the deaf people, and they got the sign language interpreter's autograph. I mean, it's like, we learn... we learn how to kind of roll with the punches, and I think that, you know, especially in this business, you have to be able to do a lot of things and be able to roll with the punches, you know, be able to go with the flow.
I once worked a club, I think it was in Connecticut, I forget the name of the club. I was with Sam Greenfield. Do you remember Sam?
Of course.
Sam, I forget who else. We did the first show. It was like a Friday night or Saturday night. We did the first show, and then we're hanging around. The audience is still in their seats, drinking and stuff, and it's getting close to the second show time. And I remember Sam went to the owner and said, shouldn't you get these people out so you can get the next group in? And the owner said, what next group? They stay for the second show. We're like, what? We're doing the same show. What do you mean they stay for the second show? No one thought to tell us. I mean, if you tell us in advance, maybe we'll come up with something else.
Oh, man.
It's like there were some strange situations doing stand-up. It was crazy.
Oh, there have been some horror stories. There have been some horror stories.
One of the places you and I worked together, I think it was in Rockville, when Harry had Garvin's, Harry Montecruces, had Garvin's, things, you know, that was when the comedy boom was going on. So Harry opened up a couple of other Garvin's. One was called Tom Thumbs, I believe. It was a restaurant in Rockville. People are eating. There's a salad bar. And after people got their salad, they began to break down the salad bar because that's where the stage was. That's where we did our shows.
That's right.
It was crazy.
I mean, I did a show once in a roller rink for a bar mitzvah. And I was in front of the Viennese table, and people were like rolling behind me to get their pastries. That I was doing my act.
Oh, that's great.
Oh,
that
my goodness.
Great.
It's insane. Listen, you're doing
those are the days. I loved Garvin's.
Me too. Garvin's itself was a great club. Listen, I want to talk about a couple of things. You're doing this Christmas show in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, November 29th. So what is this something you've done before? I have to admit I'm not aware of this. And what is your Christmas show?
Basically, I kind of do the anti-Christmas show, you know, where I talk about all the things that everybody hates about Christmas, like having dinner with the family and, you know, that kind of stuff and shopping and all that. And then I do some of my regular material as well. Brian Wilson will do his Christmas special. And
that's got to be good.
Yeah, really is really good. Brian Wilson's Beach Boys Family Christmas special. My first guest is Greta Van Susteren. Hi, Greta. I close it with my legendary Night Before Christmas in Brooklyn thing, which kind of put me on the map of IMS logo 28 years ago.
That's great.
Every year I got to trot that old chestnut out because people love that. So
that's great.
And it's a lot of fun. It's a beautiful theater. It's a gorgeous theater.
Well, let me tell you, again, it's November 29th at the Music Hall in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. How do people get tickets?
You can go to themusichall.org, or you can check robshow.com, which is my website, and there's a number there for you to call for tickets.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead, Gary.
Well, I had an idea, Rob, because you were so kind with the Dr. Phil advice. I used to stage manage shows on Broadway. You didn't know that before you insulted me.
First of all, I didn't insult you.
Right,
Dr.
That was someone you
bring it up with him. I have nothing but love for you, Gary.
Yeah, well, I got to wait for you to channel him again. But I have a great idea. Listen, let's do a one night only of your one man show, and this way it won't look like it sucks because we're just doing a special one night only performance, and we can probably keep the critics out, and you will we'll make it a hit.
Actually, that's a good idea.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's all in how you promote it.
One night only.
One night, yeah. You will not see this again.
You'll never see it again. We will pack the place, Rob.
Dr. Phil was right about you, Gary.
Boy, I still can't win. can't win.
Listen, I know you listened to the show that we did with Jackie Martling, and he told a story he mentioned you. He told so many stories, I can't keep them all straight. But
I didn't even know you guys were on the show, by the way.
No, we weren't. I didn't hear your voices once during the entire hour.
Trust me, we know.
Jackie called me afterwards, and he said, did I talk too much? And I said, I have no idea. I didn't get a word in. I don't know what you did.
That's Jackie, man. That's Jackie. But you said you wrote me and you said he told a story and he got it wrong. He definitely got it wrong.
He said, the first part of the story is correct. Rich Scheidner was booking Garvin's, and we knew Rich Scheidner from, I guess, the East Side, which Richie owned. And so we decided we had to go down to audition. They weren't going to be coming up, as Harry had already been up to Catch in the comic strip to audition people, and he wasn't coming up and for like another year or whatever. So Scheidner says, well, why don't you come down and I'll make sure you guys get a good spot. And so we drove down. It was Jackie, Richie Minervini, Eddie Murphy, and myself. And I think Jackie drank a whole bus pan filled with beer bottles all the way down.
What a shock.
And we stayed at the, what was that, that hotel right around the corner from...
From Garvin's?
Yeah, the really fancy one.
The Shoreham, the Shoreham.
The Shoreham, we stayed at the Shoreham. And so it was one room, because we had no money.
Right.
And two beds, and so Jackie and Richie slept together, and Eddie and I slept together.
Wow.
So this is going to be my Esquire headline, I slept with Eddie Murphy. But Eddie made me sleep on top of the covers because he didn't want to be under the covers with another man. So I had to sleep on top of the covers.
Was anybody smoking in the morning?
No. So we do the audition, and, we killed. Eddie and I killed. We'll put it to you that way. And Jackie, I think, did okay. Richie did okay. And so Eddie and I passed the audition, and Jackie and Richie didn't.
Oh.
And so we were kind of yucking it up and having a good time, and Richie and I are laughing, and Eddie and me are laughing, and Jackie turns to Richie all of a sudden and says, what are you laughing about? We didn't get the gig! That was so much fun.
That's
one of those road stories with the Magnificent Seven, the original Magnificent Seven of the Long Island comics. It was those were the days.
Those were the days, and we should mention you very early in your career. Maybe it was at the very beginning. You and Eddie Murphy and Bob Nelson, who we also talked about. You guys were the identical triplets.
Yep.
Right.
We had a kind of an act. We each did a little bit of our own acts, and then we did improv stuff together.
I wish I saw that.
And we were all friends, and, we were the closest with each other, so the three of us decided, this way we can always work together. So we did that for a while.
Right.
Which was a lot of fun.
That's great.
A lot of stories.
And everyone, obviously Eddie Murphy was this comedy super, is a comedy superstar and all of that. Did you maintain that relationship, or did it kind of fall by the wayside?
Well, we did for a while. I mean, I was the one who told Eddie they needed an African-American comic for Saturday Night Live. Because Charlie Barnett, I guess, had been hired, but they discovered that he couldn't read scripts.
Right.
So they were without a comic, and they were short ones. So I found this out. Bob Nelson was doing a Merv Griffin show when Merv was in town, and Minervini and myself were there. And Bob's agent at the time from APA told the story. And Bob turned to me and said, don't you dare tell Eddie. So the next day, Eddie and I were going up to, Fort Lauderdale to do the Fort Lauderdale comic strip. And on the plane, I said, I heard from Bob Nelson's agent that they're looking for a black guy for Saturday Night Live. So, and then as soon as we landed, I think he called Richie Tinkin, and Tinkin got him the audition. And the rest, they say, is history. I did a special. It was supposed to be a series, a pilot for a series, but it didn't get picked up. It was originally for NBC, and then it was CBS. It was called What's Alan Watching, which I think is up on YouTube in parts.
Hmm.
It was a really great concept. It was a kid who was addicted to television, and the line between TV and his life kind of crossed. Like, I was his sister's boyfriend, Lenny Kling, the Carpet King, and I was a question on Jeopardy, and they got the real Alex Trebek and stuff like that. So, and Eddie played James Brown.
Wow.
When James Brown was in court, and he did Please, Please, Please in the courtroom.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so wait a minute. Alan,
it was amazing.
What's Alan Watching?
And it may
be on
Alan
YouTube.
Watching.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that was just great stuff. And And then I did another pilot for Eddie Murphy Productions a couple of years later. It was going to be a half-hour variety series with two very popular disc jockeys here, Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. Not the Dr. Dre, or the right. other Dr. Dre.
Right.
That didn't get picked up. But you know, every once in a while, you know, I'll hear of him or hear, you know, and somebody will say that, you know, he says hello. Or,
yeah.
But, you know, we travel in such different circles.
Absolutely.
You know,
well,
so you kind of lose touch. I mean, it's sad, but... that's the way it works.
But listen, you know. Really helping to get him that job on Saturday Night Live, I bet all these years he's been paying you big bucks for doing that, right? I mean, are you making a lot of money off of Eddie?
I'm the bitterest man in show business. I am bitter, broken, crushed.
Luckily, you're really none of that, or if you are, you hide it well. Rob, it is extremely good to talk to you. Please, if you come to D.C., let us know. I'd just like to see you, but we'd love to have you back on the show and have some
have
you in the studio.
Yeah, it'd be great to have you here.
Rob Bartlett,
thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you.
Let me
just mention very quickly once again the Christmas show at the Music Hall in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, November 29th. Tickets are still available. Go to themusichall.org.
Yep,
themusichall.org to get your tickets. Rob, just so you know, we're going to wrap the show today with some Sponge Tones music in your honor.
Oh, God bless you.
All right, Rob, good to talk to you, man.
Good talking to you, Tony.
Thank you very much.
Have you.
Yep, appreciate
Gary,
it.
Gary, I'll forgive you.
Just make me healthy.
All right, Rob Bartlett, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't he great?
He's fantastic. He really is. Rob is hysterical.
Right. And even when he's not hysterical, it's just bizarre, and you really do think, wow, this is really crazy.
Hey, if he's not hysterical, he's twisted.
Yeah, right.
So
right,
there's
right.
something there.
I love it. All right. He's a good guy.
We got a little business before we finish up, don't we?
No, I think we're going to skip that because we have gone, we're full.
You just made me a liar. why would you, let me tell you something. Why would you do that to me on a day when I'm having health fears?
You know what? Well, I shouldn't do that. You want to do it? Let's do it.
I want to do it.
All right. We got to, Rob, where you go, stand by with us for a second.
Okay.
We got, you know, some of you may be aware of Marcus Serta. He is the host of another show on the More Network called Omiracast, which is a podcast about the Mike O'Meara show and all the other shows on the network.
Very interesting concept, right?
It's the craziest thing, but he talks about, it's fantastic.
They do a great job.
Yeah, it's fantastic because he's a fan of these shows, and they pull clips and they talk about it anyway.
What I love best, though, is that he really, really likes our show.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does, which I appreciate.
I like that best.
and Marcus has asked us to record an open for his show.
He did. He didn't ask for us to do it on our show, but,
right.
but we're going to do it on our show.
And frankly, we're doing it to save time. That way we don't have to wait around here when we're done.
Yeah, because I just want to skip town and get out of here. I'll go back and I got to watch the rest of Schindler's List.
All right, so what we have to say something like welcome to Omiracast with your host Marcus Serta.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
he wants us to give our own flavor to it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, you recording, Rob?
I am.
All right, here we go. This will be take one, the intro to Omiracast. Hey, I'm Tony Perkins.
Hey, I'm Gary Stein.
And welcome to Omiracast. What a great show this is.
One of the best podcasts out there.
You know what? Later on in the show, you're going to hear from us again.
Why?
Because that's what the show is about.
Okay.
Us.
Oh, okay.
And Mike O'Meara and Cake and Cookies and Robin Slim Jim and all those
but
shows.
But you got to hear Marcus Serta do this show.
He's the host.
This is quite a show.
We started good, but the end wasn't that great.
Nah.
I stepped on you.
Well, I think most of it went downhill. It was your fault.
All right, take two. Hi, I'm Tony Perkins.
Hi, I'm Marcus Serta.
And welcome to, it's not our show. What am I doing? Well, no, I can say, let's do that again. We'll do it again. Take three. Hi, I'm Tony Perkins.
Hi, I used to be Gary Stein, but I'm Marcus Serta.
He's not really Marcus Serta, but this is Omiracast with your host,
Marcus Serta.
That's it.
Here
Give
we
us
go.
A ding, ding, ding,
All
ding,
right.
ding, ding.
Marcus, you owe us about $1,000.
That's right. We do charge for this, Marcus. And we got it done during our show. All right. That's it, boys and girls. Ladies and gentlemen, this one was chock full. We thank Rob Bartlett for being with us today. Gary, I sincerely wish you the best. And
thank
I really
you.
Hope that you do not have a...
And I want to say that I hope that the next sound you don't hear from me is this.
It won't be. It won't be. And please, folks, don't worry. He's going to be fine, honestly. All right?
I promise.
Thank you for the show. We'll be back with you again this week. Thanks for writing and listening in and all that kind of thing. Rob Ford, thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey, you know what? Can you take us out with some Sponge Tones?
Sure.
Sponge Tones, they're a group from North Carolina. I turned Rob Bartlett on to them. He loves them. They used to really emulate the Beatles and the Kinks and all of that British invasion music. Uh-huh. And eventually they started playing it. Oh, yeah. They sound just like them. Here they are, the Sponge Tones. We'll
see you
next week.
I think Rob was sick of hearing you, and he just wanted to put it on.
He's got an appointment.
My life was such a chore, but I know it's not gonna be that way no more. Will I search far and wide till I found you by my side? Now I know that we'll both be satisfied.
The Tony Perkins Show. A more broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, that's rather funny. Yeah.